Buddy.
Good morning.
It's really good to see all of you. I hope you forgive me, but you know, this is not my normal thing in the church. And so when I was getting dressed this morning and I couldn't find any flats, I made the executive decision that if I was to hear from the Holy Spirit, I should not be worried about twisting my ankle. So I'm barefoot today.
Let's go. Holy ground.
Amen. Holy ground, Pastor Mary. That's right. So I have the privilege of kicking off our new sermon series, Then Sings My Soul. And when the opportunity was presented to us, I immediately knew what I wanted to do, which is really funny because I'm not a hymns type of person. I know a lot of people in the church that grew up in church, and they hear a hymn, and they're like, oh, that takes me back to such and such, or my mom or my grandma. And I kind of grew up on gospel. And then later it was like contemporary Christian music. So hymns were never my thing. But when I heard this, I knew immediately, I know what I want to do. I know what I want to do. And if anybody here knows who Donnie McClurkin is, he is amazing. But he has this song called The Language Medley. And he starts off the song with, as the deer pants for the water. And he has an amazing voice, so that alone would have been enough for making me to like the song. But if you know about me, I love languages, right? I studied Japanese for years. I've studied Korean. I've studied all different types of languages. I just love being able to speak to people in their language and be able to understand them. And so he's singing this hymn, and then he stops and he said, well, if you go to Japan, you need to speak so that they understand you. And he starts singing it in Japanese. And that was the end of it all. It was in my, like, even thinking about it, I'm getting chill bumps. It's in my soul. Like, it just meant a lot to me. And so as soon as they said hymns, I was like, I know my hymn. So that's what I'm here to speak to you guys about today. And I would love to say that I went through the whole hymn and, you know, I tied it up in a nice little bow and I have my 3 points for you. And that's not the case. I couldn't get past the first 2 lines. And I tried to even, you know, I tried to be like Pastor Jen and do the whole like word study and everything, and God just wasn't speaking to me that way. And so, well, I'm going to start off by reading to you actually where that line came from in the Bible. And it's Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2. And it's, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So that's already powerful, right? And the thing that, you know, when I looked up the Hebrew and everything, nothing was really sticking out to me. But one thing that did kind of settle with me was they said the words that they were using, the language they were using was very poetic, right? And in the NIV, it says, my soul pants for you. But, you know, the song says, my soul longs for you. And so I'm sitting there with my, you know, I like to do studies, I like to do research, I'm a little bit of a nerd, so I'm thinking back to school, and I'm like, okay, well, deer is to water as soul as to God, right? Y'all remember that from school? And you know, what's the correlation? And it was really funny because I was thinking about how it was poetic and the word longing, and I went straight back to like middle school, high school, right? Where I'm like, oh, I'm longing for him. If I don't have him, I'm going to die. I miss him so much. Oh, y'all act like y'all ain't never had a crush. I'm talking about that puppy dog love. Like your first couple of times having a crush or whatever it is, and God forbid it was mutual. That just made it worse, right? Because I had one of those, and it was pretty disgusting, right? Where we would talk on the phone all night, fall asleep, listening to each other breathe. Like when we weren't together, we were texting or we were talking to our friends about each other. If you want to talk to my parents after service, they'll talk about a phone bill that they made us pay for. Because this was back in the day where you actually paid for your minutes, right? But it was that longing. I wanted connection. We wanted to be connected to each other. And so if you're thinking about this and you compare it to deer is to water as soul is to God, that longing, well, then that longing becomes something that really is, I will die without it, right? Because the deer needs water. Everything organic needs water or it will perish. That's why when we look to the stars and we're looking for planets and we're looking for planets that will be able to give us some water, because otherwise we won't make it there. So my first point I wanted to point out was our souls don't just want God. They need God. It needs God. It's a matter of life and death. So now that we know that our souls need God, and it's not just a want, it's not just a longing, it's not just a high school crush, right? How do we get that? How do we get that water, that hydration, that spiritual hydration? And as I was studying the deer in particular and what the original writer might have been thinking, I came across the differences between Middle Eastern deer and the deer in America, right? And the deer in the Middle East, because their habitat is a lot different than ours, like Pastor Jen was saying, they get a lot of rain and then it's done, right? So they get a lot of their water from vegetation. And so they have to know what to eat. Because if they eat something that happens to be a diuretic, then they're going to lose that water, right? They have to know what to eat in order to keep the water that they have, get more water, and make sure that they keep themselves hydrated. And so if we look at that from a spiritual standpoint, right, what are we doing? What is our vegetation? What are we putting into ourselves that is hydrating our soul? How do we do that? And so one of the things that came up with me, sorry, you will see me swat this fly. I can't help it. Devotionals. Are you doing your daily devotionals? You know, Pastor Jen has been really excited that we've been able to do the 5-day devotional on our website every week. Are you stopping in and doing that small devotional? Or are you a part of any community groups? Or even just a group of like-minded believers that you come together with where the focus can be on God, where you can edify each other and lift each other up? Another thing was worship music. Now, I enjoy my podcast, and it's like comedians talking about history, and it can get a little political at times, and that's not really refreshing my soul. It might be fun in the moment, but there are times where I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, my soul's singing, it's time for some worship music, you know? And then, of course, there's your quiet time, but I personally feel like that's when you're right there at that water where you can just drink from the source, right? In your quiet time with God. But you still need that vegetation. So then, what are the things that we might be taking in that are those diuretics, that are those things like salty crackers that aren't really helping us, right? Could it be being on social media? Now, I know a lot of us have a good algorithm, and we get our, like, words and everything from there, but maybe God would rather you not be hearing from an algorithm, but hearing from him. Or gotta confess, I'm really bad with binge-watching shows, and I'm really upset right now because I have nothing to watch. But I love just sitting there and being able to watch hours of one show in one sitting. But that's not feeding my soul. That's not refreshing my soul. And then comes the question, what is it that I'm watching? It might be neutral, or it might be something that is literally taking the nourishment out of my soul. Another one that's a little touchy is overworking. How many of us are spending so much time working giving 110%, 120%, working as unto God, except for God never asked us to neglect our time with him in order to be a good worker. God will never ask us to spend less time with him in order to do what we're supposed to do. And I know we have to take care of our families. I know we want to succeed. I know we want to get that promotion. But guess what? If God wants you to get the promotion, you'll get the promotion. Never forsake that time with God. And a really fun one, I wish I could patent it, right? I came up with spiritual leftovers. Now, a spiritual leftover is that thing, it's your testimony that you put in the refrigerator and you can pull it back out and go ahead and minister to yourself, right? Because this happened to me. I can tell you, this happened to me. I had a situation where things were looking like my plans, and they were God's plans too, but I was seeing a bump in the road, and I'm sitting here already like, great, they done messed up this. I got to go this way, go that way. They're messing up my timeline. What am I going to do? And God had already worked it out. And he was like, what are you doing? I already got this. You knew that this was my plan, so why are you worried about how the plan unfolds? And then he said, do you remember the last time you did that? Yeah, so I had that. That testimony was in my freezer, and I wasn't opening my freezer. I have to put it back in my refrigerator so when I look for some food, I can open it up and see it again. Because he will let us go through the same thing over and over and over until we learn. Until we learn. So you got those spiritual leftovers. Open your refrigerator. Let it minister to you. That's why it's really good to have journals, right? You can write down what you're praying for, and when you go back, you can... God answered this. You can even put a date on it. I'm really bad with doing the journals, but I know that it's powerful because the times when I did it, it was amazing. Think about that, spiritual leftovers. Because if you don't purposely refresh your soul, you might find yourself thirsty. And I don't want people to get confused because we should always thirst and hunger for God. Always thirst and hunger for God. But I'm talking about a thirst that comes as a result of something missing. This is a symptom, okay? And when you have symptoms, that means that something's out of whack. So that's the thirst I'm talking about. Not talking about our continual hunger to be more and more like God and get closer and closer to God. I'm talking about that thirst that comes when you're like, when was the last time I talked to God? So my point is, don't wait until your soul is thirsty to go to God. All right? Now, I have a lot of confessions that are going to come out during this sermon. But, I mean, that's how God does it, right? You can't preach about somebody else. You got to preach about yourself. So I love horror movies and scary movies and apocalyptic movies. I just do. I don't know if it's because of like my ADHD and my dopamine levels, but like I just love it. And so I especially love end of the world movies, right? And I don't know, there's this big boom in zombie movies lately or zombie shows. I'm not really into zombies, but I'll watch them because it's kind of okay to me. But the one thing that's really interesting about these shows where the world has ended and there's some survivors, right? And you always get your group of people that are together and they're like, okay, we need food and water. And then there's always some random person that knows where a grocery store is, like nobody knows where the grocery store is or something. But they always have this one place that we all need to go because that's where all the food and the water is going to be. So that's where we're going, right? And they pick out all their little people. You're good at going to get food. You're good at doing this, whatever. And then they send them out. But us as watchers always know when they get there, either the stuff is all already gone or there are people waiting to jump you. I'm just saying, there's going to be people there waiting to jump you. And it's funny because we can go back to the deer, right? In the Middle East, like I said, they have limited water sources. And when you have a, what we'll call the watering hole, right? That's a dangerous place to be because not only are deer coming there, but their predators are coming there as well. And so it's dangerous. They have to be on the watch, right? And how much is that like our spiritual life? Whenever we're pressing in, whenever we're really getting close to God, whenever we're having our quiet time every single day, all of a sudden the enemy is trying to come up against us at work, at home, everywhere, in our mind, because he doesn't want us close to the source. So another interesting thing, though, because that's the Middle Eastern deer. The American deer, on the other hand, prefers still waters, right? Which is really cool because we could go into the whole, he leads me down quiet, still waters and everything like that, but I only have a limited amount of time, so we'll talk about the quiet water the deer has, right? And the deer picks these waters because it can hear. It can listen for the enemy. And so while it's drinking, if the enemy's coming, it knows to skedaddle. So what about us? When we're having our quiet time, are we listening? Are we taking the time to hear God tell us, hey, the devil's coming from right, oh, sorry, wrong side. The devil's coming from right over there. But are we quiet? Do we spend our quiet time coming to God with our prayer list of X, Y, and Z, and I need this and I need that, and pray for my cousin and pray for my mama, and then here's my worship song and here's my verse of the day and I'm done. That's my 30 minutes. Or do we give him the space to speak to us? Those quiet waters. So I want to ask you a question. Are you dehydrated? And that's not for you to answer now, because that's a question you need to talk to God about. But I'm going to talk to you about dehydration in the body, right? And the symptoms of dehydration are dizziness, being weak or lightheaded, confusion, and headaches. I get bad headaches. Like I said earlier, like I have ADHD, which is pretty much a prioritization problem. And so many days people with ADHD just don't prioritize eating and drinking. And I get these headaches. And my husband, Chris, he can come talk to me. He can be right here. And I'm struggling to try and understand what he's saying to me. And I can't pick up anything. Like, at that moment, I'm dehydrated and I cannot take on any information, right? So I'm going to read 1 Peter 5, verses 7 and 8, right? It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Looking for someone to devour. Now, we already talked about how he's sitting there around the watering hole, hiding, waiting for you, right? And Peter says, be alert. But if we're spiritually dehydrated, how are we going to be alert? If my husband had been right there in front of my face trying to tell me something was wrong with our daughter or there was a fire in the house, I wouldn't have been fast enough to act immediately. I would have had to be like, wait, what? We don't have time for wait, what? Be alert. The enemy is out looking for who he can devour. You cannot be alert if you are spiritually dehydrated. Imagine a deer, if you will, right? If it was weak and confused and dizzy and a predator came up on it, we would all assume it's going to be taken down, right? I actually saw a video not too long ago, and there was this deer. I don't know why my feed likes to show me these weird, like, animal chases, but God was already working this sermon out, right? The deer was running from some animal. I don't remember what it was, but it got to a river, and it crossed the river. It almost made it out of the river, and before it got out of the river, it turned around to look. And the animal over there decided not to chase it anymore. Well, the animal over there saw the alligators in the water, and so it decided to go away. And the deer was so focused on that it got away from that one and it wasn't coming, it didn't notice the alligator when it came up behind it, grabbed it on its back, and dragged it out back to the middle of the river. And so I'm watching this, and I'm like, no! Oh, man, that stinks. Okay. And then all of a sudden, it popped back up, and you see it swimming back to the other side. And I'm like, no way. This is crazy, because, like, anybody watching that was like, oh, well, that was the end. The deer's a goner, right? I bet you that deer was not dehydrated. I'm telling you, because if you had an alligator drag you underwater and you get out, I know you are 100% on top of your game. I thought it was a goner. And the same thing will happen to us. If we are out there and we're being attacked by the enemy, if we are spiritually hydrated, we just had a talk with God this morning. We already saw you coming, Satan. We ain't have time for this. But if you're spiritually dehydrated, you might not be ready. He might be able to knock you off course. And we pray that his tactics never take you completely out. But how do you combat that? You have to be spiritually hydrated. So my next point is, when you're spiritually dehydrated, you're vulnerable to attack. Now, if you remember last Sunday, Pastor Jen was talking about how Sunday is not enough, right? Sunday's not enough to refresh your soul. It's just absolutely not enough. You need to have your time with God. You need more God throughout the week to be able to refresh your soul, to be able to be ready for the attacks of the enemy. So what happens if we continue on in this state of dehydration? Well, they call it chronic dehydration, and that's where you're just somebody living with not enough water, period, right? And so I'm going to talk about what happens when you're in that state, because these aren't symptoms. These are the results of chronic dehydration. And the first one I want to talk about is an overworked heart and increased stress hormones. And we already know those are things that'll kill you. An overworked heart and stress. So how are you? Are you overworked? Are you stressed out? Are you constantly worried, anxious? Are you constantly striving? Maybe it's time to ask God, am I chronically dehydrated? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." You hear that? Heart and mind. Overworked heart, stress hormones. He gave us the whole prescription. He told us what to do. Don't be anxious. Don't let all those bad hormones and emotions take you over. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving. Bring your request to God. That's have a relationship. That's what he's asking. Have a relationship with me, and I will take those things, and then I will give you peace, your heart and your mind. That's the remedy. Another thing that happens when you've been chronically dehydrated is accelerated physical aging. Now, I don't think of our souls as having an age, they're eternal. But the interesting thing about getting older, about aging, is as you age, your body becomes less able to recognize the signals of thirst. So it's not that you don't need water, your body still needs the water, but you can no longer recognize the signals like you used to. Now, can you imagine that for your soul? You've been away, you've had that disconnect from God, you haven't been with God enough, and then all of a sudden you can't even realize that you need him. That's a scary thought. I've actually been there. When I was younger, about end of high school, into college, I had some church hurts. And that's the worst time to have church hurts, because you're going from being in your home, you know, from what you know, into outside and on your own, right? And I ended up not going to church anymore. And years down the road, I ended up in addiction. And the crazy thing about it was, even in my addiction, I would have told you, me and God were like this. That was my dog, man. I'd be telling him about my day, how horrible it was, what I didn't like, what I needed. I'd be talking at him all the time. I'd be the person calling and then pushing the button to skip the voicemail so I could tell him about what I wanted and what I needed and what I wanted to complain about, but I ain't never have time to let him talk to me. I didn't have time to go to church. It wasn't convenient. I had lost my ability to recognize my thirst. I convinced myself that talking at him was good enough. Another thing that happens when you have chronic dehydration is kidney stones. Now, I don't know if y'all have kidney stones before, but they stink. They're the worst. Oh my goodness, I can't even. Okay, I'm so sorry. Kidney stones are worse than any pain I have ever experienced in my life. You can tell me that I have to give birth 5 times back to back, and I will take that over a kidney stone. A kidney stone was traumatic. And now if you've had a kidney stone, you know it stinks. But if you had a kidney stone and you were able to pass it yourself, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about those kidney stones that are large enough so that you are no longer able to urinate. I had never been more terrified in my life. I was in the emergency room, curled up in a ball, crying, going to the bathroom every 5 minutes, trying to see if I could get anything to come out. So when they took me back there and they finally confirmed the medicine that I need that would help me use the restroom, I was so thankful. But then I had to go home, and I didn't have an appointment to get it removed yet. So when my pills started to run low, I was terrified. I was desperate. I was hitting up my primary care doctor over and over, letting her know that if she did not answer me and get me these pills, I would end up in the ER. Could you imagine if we were that desperate for God? What would the world look like if we knew our need for God and it was that desperate? So my next point is, prolonged spiritual dehydration causes dysfunction of the body of Christ. And now I say the body of Christ because we've been talking about our own soul for a while, but when you have dysfunction in your soul, it affects the whole body of Christ. Because whether you know it or not, that unsaved person down the street that doesn't recognize their need for God, God still has a plan for them. Or the Christian who's not ready to walk in their calling, God has a plan for them. Or the Christian who has become really busy and their quiet time isn't happening as much anymore, and they weren't able to hear when God was trying to tell them that their neighbor needed an encouraging word, God had a plan. We have to stay spiritually hydrated, guys. Because everybody is affected. It's not just us. We are a body. So then, what's the answer? I'm going to take you to John 4. Before we read verses 9 through 14, I'm going to set it up for you. This is the story of the woman at the well, right? So Jesus has been traveling. His disciples go off to town. He comes to the well, and there's a Samaritan woman there, and he asks for a drink. And so we'll jump in at verse 9, and I want us all to read together. It says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.'" Can you leave this one slide up? Do you see up there? It says, "will never thirst." Now, it does not say, "we'll never need to drink again." It says, "we'll never thirst." I don't know if you get the connection, so I'm going to kind of wrap it up for you, right? If we never thirst, that means we are constantly getting the hydration we need, right? He's giving us water that becomes a spring, springing up in us to eternal life. Now, it's really funny because my mom was talking to me about a conversation she was having with her church body, and they were talking about the Holy Spirit and how it was like a spigot or a faucet. And you can turn it on all the way, you can turn it off, or you can just let it drip a little bit, right? That's what Jesus came to do. When he died on that cross, the veil was torn. Whatever kept us from God was gone. Jesus restored our connection to God. The refreshing that we need, he gave us unlimited, unfettered access through him. The Holy Spirit living in us. See, the thing is, when you're thirsty, dehydration has already started on a cellular level. And that's our body saying, "hey, something's wrong here, do something about it." We don't have to be thirsty because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have that connection, that relationship. That's what Jesus restored, relationship. That's what our spirit needs, relationship. Because relationship takes time. Relationship takes connection. So, if you've been feeling stressed out, worried, overwhelmed, maybe your soul is just asking for water. My bottom line is, our souls were created for and need constant communion with God. So my invitation to all of you at the church is to come back to communion with God.